Hello, Bumbles, and welcome back. Thank you for being here for the 8th session of the Q&A. It's been just over a month since the last one, and I promise I'm going to make it through these questions if it's the last thing I do. I hope you're taking good care of yourselves out there. Lately, I've been receiving a lot of really amazing emails and messages and script ideas, requests, and just people letting me know how some of the content has helped them. And I want to thank all of you so much from the bottom of my heart. It just keeps me motivated to keep doing this. And just thank you so much. In the next Q&A, we are going to go through some of your comments on YouTube and Patreon, which are absolutely hilarious. And thank you for those too, because those provide me entertainment like on a daily basis. So thank you. All right, let's dive right into it. Jack Spicer asks, when writing a script, do you work on the safe for work or not safe for work version first? I work on the safe for work version, and then I move into the not safe for work, because the flow is just more natural that way. I can't remember one where I made the not safe for work version first, although I'm sure some of the inspiration from the Patreon audios bleeds into the stuff on YouTube. You can usually tell when that's happening because they get kind of flirty. Jack also asks, I noticed a line difference between the "Can I help you with these buttons?" safe for work and not safe for work videos. Firstly, I'm surprised that you guys listen closely enough to notice those differences, which has me anxious how many mistakes you've picked up on. But for the record, I usually write and record one continuous script, and then I chop it into the not safe for work and the safe for work versions. Sometimes I don't have time for that, like to write one super long script and do it like an hour long thing, and I'll have to do them completely separately, starting with the safe for work and then doing the not safe for work. I don't like to do that, obviously, because, you know, things change each day. Your voice will change slightly, or you'll forget something, or you have to edit it together and it doesn't sound the same, and it just provides like more problems. So I try to avoid that. Nanny asks about one night stands. Have you ever had a one night stand? How was it, and would you do it again? I generally avoid one night stands. Don't get me wrong, there was a time in my life where I would consider them really exciting, and I'll admit I've had my fair share of them, but where I am now, I'm not so interested in them. I prefer to have a regular sexual partner, and let's be honest, for a lot of more experienced people out there, you know those people on your contact list that you think of when you're feeling horny. You just gotta slide into those DMs and you know you're gonna have an entertaining night. New encounters are good, but they also come with the complication that the sex could be disappointing. You might not be compatible physically with each other. There's always the risk of potential STIs. And something we don't talk about a lot is a lot of lonely people go for a one-night stand. And ultimately, if you are looking for a life partner or a long-term relationship, on some level, you might end up disappointed after a one-night stand. Even if the sex is good, it just might not be what you want deep down. So, I think one-night stands are okay, but that's not really what I'm looking for right now. So yeah, that's my personal stance on one night stands. Nanny also asks, does your voice match the way that you look? That's not an easy question to answer, because I think that your voice sounds different to you from how other people perceive it. And like, I can't ascribe physical characteristics to someone based on their voice. But if I absolutely had to answer this, I would say, yeah, how I look generally fits how I sound fairly well. And I'm sorry, no, I don't have TikTok. Which is funny because I do a lot of silly dancing in the mirror, in the kitchen, you know, just a lot of silly dancing. So TikTok would seem like a natural fit for me, but I don't have it. I feel like I'm too old for it right now. Like, TikTok is like a younger, like 19 to 25 or something like that. Samaria L asks, do you have a favorite bakery item? Now, we have talked a lot about tasty food on the channel, and as you all know, I have a bit of a sweet tooth. However, when I think of bakeries and bakery food that I really like, and I do love bakery food, I think of two things in particular. I like croissants and I like scones. Or I suppose the correct pronunciation is scone, but I simply can't say it. Like, I know that the word scone ends with an E, so the O has to be a long O. And I know like English has so many exceptions to the rule, but I feel like this one is just like a hard rule. So I have to say scone, even though it may not be, you know, technically correct. Yeah, I love scones. I like cheese scones, cheddar cheese scones, blackberry scones, blueberry scones. They're all perfect in the morning. Getting hungry. And croissants are fantastic. I love croissants. When I was a kid, I always used to get a croissant with my grandmother, ham and cheese croissant. Oh, it's so good, like the melty cheese on the inside and the ham is wrapped up in a roll, so when you get that bite, damn, my mouth is just watering. Brianna asks, how do you feel about long distance relationships? Would you ever have one? Have you ever been part of one? I think that long distance relationships are not preferable or preferable. I never know how people pronounce that word. Anyways, I think they're a necessary part of life for some people because of work or for whatever reason. And I think that they're becoming more and more common as a result of dating apps, internet dating, and just our lifestyles these days. On top of that, online gaming is a huge hobby now, and I think that it's generally accepted by most people. It's really popular, and inevitably, when people spend a lot of time playing the same games with each other, when you have the same interests with somebody, you're going to have some commonalities, some chemistry, and maybe you may develop some feelings, and voila. You've got long distance relationships, you've got online dating, and then you factor in COVID and you can just see where this is going. We talked about dating apps on the last Q&A, and dating apps have really made online dating accessible for people. Long distance relationships are more and more common, so I would be remiss to say that they're not okay. I think they're totally okay, but I don't think they're preferable, because I think, and I've said this many times before, I think that the physical aspect of a relationship is really important, especially if you think about people's love languages. Some people, their main love language is physical contact, and I'm very physically contacty, so. And I've said before, I suck at texting, so something I have to work on. But yeah, online dating is not going to be like the best way of dating for a lot of people, but it is really popular and I think it's okay. Yeah, sorry, that was a really long answer for a really simple question. Oh, I also want to say that, you know, if you have a long distance relationship, sometimes the chemistry in real life, physically with the person, is very different from the chemistry online or when you're chatting with somebody or texting somebody. So I would be cautious about that, because what you have online could be really different than what you have in person with the person. And I've heard of a lot of stories where people meet in real life and it's just not the same as it was online. So be cautious. Angel asks, you have mentioned that you are a soft dom, but if you were to pick one from pleasure dom and primal dom, which would you pick and why? Now, I consider this a really interesting question, because while I think I understand what you mean by pleasure dom, it's not actually a term that I've heard used before. And I googled it, as I do everything, and surprisingly, it didn't turn up anything either. So I'm just gonna pick it apart from the name. I think that being a pleasure dom means being a dom strictly through the, or mostly through the application or withholding of pleasure for your sub. Now, it's interesting to me that you juxtaposed this with a primal dom, because a primal dom is something I know about, and I'm sure everyone has their own personal interpretation, but for me, a primal dom isn't necessarily about applying or withholding pain, which would be, of course, the opposite of a pleasure dom. A primal dom is somebody who is more attuned to the animalistic essence of their sexuality. We're talking biting, scratching, hair pulling, just raw animalistic power, which I find really, really sexy. Yeah. So it's a really interesting question that you're comparing these two, who to me are not actually opposites. But I'm going to answer it anyways. I am naturally more of a primal dom. In fact, as far back as I can remember, I've always felt like I had this alter ego which activates in the bedroom, which is just more primal, you know, biting, hair pulling, growling, I guess. I feel like I'm already pretty growly, but yeah. You may have noticed that also, like, the audios on YouTube are very different from the audios that I post on Patreon most of the time. And I think that that duality in my personality is probably partly due to the fact that I'm more of a primal dom in the bedroom. But for the record, I've never referred to myself as a primal dom. I just feel particularly animally in the bedroom, just a little more like, yeah, you know where I'm going with that. Anyways, Artistic Lounger asks, which would you rather maintain while having sex? Oh, by the way, anyone who has an interest in pleasure doms or primal doms, please let me know what you think below, because I think that was a great, great question and I would like to learn more about it. So Artistic Lounger asks, what would you rather maintain while having sex? A girl giving you head or doggy style position? For the record, I wouldn't want to maintain one position for too long, because I think that it's a good idea to switch it up. It makes it kind of fun. And story time. I don't know why I'm telling you guys this. The first time that I had sex, I just only did missionary. I didn't know what I was doing. And afterwards, the girl, sweetest, nicest, most amazing girl ever, gently told me, you can try other positions during sex. Other people do other positions in one session. And thank you for teaching me so much, if you're listening. I don't think you are, but if you're out there, thank you. Yeah, after that, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, so you can transition. So yeah, I don't like to do one thing for too long, but I would choose doggy style because, and a lot of guys say this, doggy style will consistently get me off. And I encourage you to ask your male partners, or female, you know, you can make it work that way too. Just like ask your partner what they think about doggy style because it is consistently one of the hottest positions for getting off for the person on top. I think that it has a lot of flexibility as a position too. Like, you can just go to town, you can really pound it, you can go slow, you can go fast, you have total control of her hips, which is really sexy. You can lean back and you can just like go very deep, or you can lean forward and you can put your whole body on her back for that added closeness and touch. You can easily reach around and play with her clit. You can slide more fingers inside of her. You can grab her breasts. You can pull her hair. You can rub her back. You could like put your hands on her shoulders and just pull her back onto you. There's so many things you can do with doggy style. It's really like the greatest position. Blowjobs, on the other hand, can either be really good or they can be pretty bad. If someone is just kind of quietly, gently giving you a few sucks, it's like, what's the point? I barely feel this. You're obviously not into it. It's super just dull. But if she's really going at it, like just like moaning and sucking and trying to get as much of it in her mouth as she can, and you know, squeezing your balls, and it's just a hot, messy, slobbery, loud blowjob. It's like so hot. It's so sexy. So it can go one way or the other, whereas doggy style is almost always pretty fantastic. And I do want to say that I think it depends on the guy too. I think that if you're circumcised, the blowjob does feel significantly better, which is interesting because most of the stuff you read online would tell you that uncircumcised guy is more sensitive, but I'm just saying from like my personal thoughts on this. Lounger also asks, what is one thing, either habits or appearance, that you like, and one thing that you would change? I like my body. As you may already know, I'm pretty physically active and I'm pretty comfortable with my body, so I like it. I don't like my nose very much. I know it's like kind of nitpicky and I don't make a big deal out of it, but if I have to choose, I would say that my nose is a bit too big. It's a bit too long, I guess. As for habits, I like that I can never stretch. I like that I can never stay lazy for too long. Like, I get antsy and I have to get up and do something, which is part of the reason why I started this whole channel, because I was sitting there and I was like, I can play Call of Duty or I can do something that will provide comfort for people, something that I can artistically express myself with, and something ultimately that is more productive. So that's a habit which is kind of ingrained in me, which I enjoy. As for something that I don't like, I can get really quiet around large groups of people. And I hate that. I hate how I feel really outgoing. And then when I'm around a whole bunch of people, I'm just not interested in talking. So that's something that I really have to work on. Lakeisha asks, do you have any general life advice? And I remember in the last Q&A, trying to think of some good advice for everyone in the whole world. And I feel like I completely, totally failed with that. So I'm just going to boil it down to this one statement. I think it's a good idea to take risks in your life, especially if that's a targeted risk, which is pushing you in the direction where you're going to feel fulfilled. Whether it be a dream job that you want, a dream partner that you want, a pet, a project, whatever. I think you need to take risks towards that goal, or else it will never manifest in your life. So that's my one, I think, okay piece of advice. I do in fact have a quote that keeps me grounded that I think about quite often. And if you have a quote like this, let me know below, because I'm sure that a lot of people have these little things that just keep them going when times are tough. And for me, that quote is keep calm and carry on. Sure, it's become really trite in the last 10 years or so, since it's pasted on the back of every cell phone cover and every poster and every big bookstore you go into. But that quote really means something to me. It's always struck me. It always worked for me. Whenever things are tough, whenever I'm feeling down, that quote really helps me out. And when I think it or say it, I also always think about this old photo from World War II. There's this British guy reading a book and he's in a library which is completely decimated, totally bombed out, and he just looks totally unfazed reading his book. And it really brings me this inspiration. There have been so many times, like when my bank account was compromised or being lost in a foreign country, not being able to speak the language, or potentially losing my job as a new graduate, going into a big operation at the hospital, just things like that, where when I said this, it just reminded me to keep calm and keep your chin up and keep going. So that is my answer to that question. Kimmy asks if I prefer a relationship that is primarily vanilla, that is no kinky stuff, or sort of a really tame relationship in the bedroom, or a relationship with lots of kinky goodness, specifically a BDSM relationship. My knee-jerk reaction was to say either a BDSM-based relationship or one where we experimented more and that experimental sexuality was more prevalent. However, the more that I think about it, I can't really stand by that answer, because I have had relationships with rather inexperienced partners, as we've talked about before, and I think they were really sweet. And as I've said before, it is nice to be a teacher. If you've never been a teacher, I encourage you, don't rule out a potential partner just because he or she doesn't have experience. Take the opportunity to be a teacher. You will see how satisfying it is. And it may not have the same level of spice as other relationships, but it is still very fulfilling, and that doesn't detract from the relationship as a whole, as long as there's intimacy. For me, as long as there's intimacy, I'm fine with it. doing something really kinky and sexy, and putting a collar on someone, and getting into the role play of it, for me, is just as fulfilling as teaching somebody how to enjoy themselves with a new position, cuddling head to head, just enjoying each other. Intimacy is more important than the exact things that we're doing in the bedroom, for me at least. Obliviousness, I love the name, asks, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever done to get a crush's attention? Nothing. I am ever smooth. No, I've actually done so many stupid things. And, hold up, my arm is falling asleep. I actually did something really stupid recently. Now, take into account, I am very aware of the stupid alpha male cliches that exist, which makes what happened even worse, because I'm just highly aware of this. But there was this particularly pretty girl, I thought, next to me at a stoplight recently, and when the light went green, without even thinking, I revved my engine and sped off like a bat out of hell, like that would be impressive or something. And I probably looked like a complete asshole. Literally 2 seconds later, I was like, did you really just do that? Were you trying to impress that girl? Because I make fun of people who do that. Whenever I hear someone really hit the gas, or you hear, you know, like the muffler has been changed and it's really loud for no reason, I'm like, oh, big man, really impressive. And then I did that myself, and it was just so cringy. I felt like my body just did it without thinking. It was like that primal part of the brain that was like, ooh, pretty girl, beat chest, and just happened. yeah, so that happened. Obliviousness also asks, what are your thoughts on sexting? Okay, if a relationship is kind of like writing, I think that sexting is like punctuation. Just like, it's just like love letters, romantic nights, flowers, all the little things that you can do to excite somebody or let them know that you're thinking about them. The occasional session of sexting, sending a sexy photo, something like that, definitely gets my stamp of approval. I wouldn't do it all the time, but sometimes when you're at work and you get that sexy text message from your partner, you're just like, that just made my day. So I think it's good. What do you enjoy more while laying in bed with your partner? Back scratches or playing with your hair? I think that most people would say back scratches. Let me know below. But I personally enjoy having my hair played with, just like touching my head in some way, especially after sex, and especially because I'm usually the dominant one. So it's kind of a funny reversal of roles, where if she's touching my head or neck or playing with my hair afterwards, it just makes me feel like I did really good. It's reassuring, and yeah, it just makes me feel like I did a great job. And plus, if I'm sleepy after, it just feels really good. So really, really, really satisfying. I would say like the best part of life is that. Just feels great. Zebra Pink asks, who is your favorite Marvel character? My favorite character is Wolverine, but for various reasons, I've always been associated with Spider-Man in my group of friends. I think the Iron Spider looks awesome in the comic books. If you haven't seen him, Google it. I know he kind of makes, like, they kind of show it in the movies, but it's not the same. Also, who would you go gay for? For the record, I took this question very seriously. I even Googled the world's most beautiful men. And I went through those Google images, and I can tell you honestly, I didn't feel the slightest inkling of attraction to any of them. However, potentially Eddie Redmayne. He was the actor from Fantastic Beasts and Les Miserables. And I think that he has a very unique look, and he seems like a genuinely nice person. Plus, we could talk about like magical beasts and literature and stuff. So if I had to go gay, I would go for Eddie Redmayne for sure. Mathilde asks, what do you find the most attractive about submissive girls? All right, this on the surface seems like a simple question, but the more that I thought about it, and I definitely overthink these questions, but I don't even know. Like, it's as if I asked, what do you like about dominant men, if you're into dominant men? And I think the answers could vary a lot. Are we talking about physical characteristics or a physical presence, like the gravitas of someone just being dominant or submissive? Are we talking about their personality? I think we can filter out all these things and, for me, say that it's an experiential thing. In other words, it's the feeling the experience gives you. It fulfills something that you need if you're into, you know, your partner being particularly dominant or submissive. Obviously not everybody. But I think that some people need to have that feeling. Also, most of my past partners may have been submissive in bed, but that doesn't mean that they're submissive as a person. And you probably already know this. I think it's almost well known that people who are submissive in bed tend to be dominant outside the bedroom. And that has been the case for basically everyone that I've had a relationship who was submissive, whether they be like a army helicopter pilot or a manager or an engineer. They've always been dominant outside the bedroom and very submissive in bed. So I'm assuming that for them, having a dominant man also fulfills some need in them, some experiential need, which is great. Mathilde also asks, would you ever be in a relationship with someone with mental illness or with mental health issues? Yes. Yes, totally, but with a caveat. If they are not in a good place to be in a relationship and they need to work on themselves first, like if a relationship is going to put them in a worse position than if they were not in a relationship, then I think that they should focus on themselves first. But let's be honest, if we all waited until we were 100% physically and mentally healthy and in a good place to have a relationship, we would all be dead. There would be no babies, because nobody is perfect, and we all have issues. Part of falling in love is also falling in love with that person's flaws. So I would say, don't let mental health issues ever hold you back from seeking out a loving partner. I think that's very, very important to say that. Mathilde also asks, have you heard Machine Gun Kelly's new album? Yes, and despite my younger cousin making fun of me for it, thanks, I think that it's fantastic. I love that Machine Gun Kelly is making carefree, not so serious rock music. There was a headline recently that said, when did we start taking rock so seriously, or something like that, and I totally agree. It reminds me of that golden age, like Blink 182, and yeah, if someone's gonna jump on me and try to explain the difference between pop, punk, rock, I'm totally aware. I'm just saying, yeah, I like what he's doing. Falola asked three questions relating to vulnerability. Like, how can you be vulnerable without feeling like you're being annoying or a downer? And what's the difference between being vulnerable and complaining? And lastly, how do you allow yourself to be vulnerable? And that is a very, very good question. interestingly, I don't equate being vulnerable with being annoying or a downer at all. In fact, those things are completely unrelated in my mind. We might think of vulnerability as different things, you and I. Like, to me, here's an example of being vulnerable. After years of not finding the one, I guard my heart. So I get into a relationship with someone, but I fall in love, and I'm worried about that, and I tell them, I can't hide my feelings. I really care for you. And I tell that person, even knowing that I could get really hurt, the thing that I'm most afraid of. Now that's being vulnerable to me. It may make things more complicated, but I don't think that it's a downer. I don't think that it's complaining. I think that being vulnerable is having the courage to be sincerely you, no matter what the consequences. And maybe there could be a situation where you feel like you're complaining or bringing people down. And that's difficult to deal with. I get that. But life is really short. I think that it's okay to be vulnerable. And we're all gonna get hurt. So just be like Shia LaBeouf and just do it. Just do it. And now, a very, very important question. Based on your research, Vans or Converse? All right, so I think that Converse are more versatile, but I really missed my Vans old schools. I feel like they just spoke to my soul. Even when nobody's wearing Vans old schools, I will still have a pair of Vans old schools. And I destroyed my last pair. So I went out and I got another pair to rotate in. And while I love my Converse, I think my heart goes to the Vans old schools. Black and white, of course. High tops are okay. Low tops, the best. I want to end the audio with some fun questions. So Anna Cranberry, great name by the way, had some pretty fun questions here. She asked one of them, I'm still curious about the physical aspects of an orgasm from your point of view. Like, how and where does it start? So Anna, I never really thought about this before, to be honest, but I don't think the orgasm for guys actually starts in the penis. Like, the penis stimulation of the penis triggers it. Most of the time, you can, of course, stimulate it in other ways through the testicles or behind the testicles, but the orgasm itself actually starts somewhere deeper, like somewhere between the lower abdomen and the ass, which makes sense because the pituitary gland is blah, 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 pituitary gland. Well, all of the equipment is there, right? And that's where all the important stuff is. The orgasm itself is like this deep muscular convulsion, which grows stronger and stronger and stronger as the stimulation continues until, boom, each convulsion is shooting stuff. You're coming. And there's this kind of resistance that's built up. So when it does release, it feels amazing. Kind of like a sneeze, but way, 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 way better. Yeah, guys are really weird creatures, I know. Anna also asks, what is your take on period sex? Not everyone's into it, it's okay. But if you had a girlfriend who got aroused on her second or third day, what would you do? I had an ex who wouldn't touch me on my period, which is okay, but he went a step further, forbidding me to take care of myself. Well, Anna, I'm really sorry that you experienced that, because I know this may sound judgmental, but I think that's horrible. I think that's like some Bronze Age stuff right there. I'm actually fine with period sex. Thinking back, most of my partners would usually wait, but you know, if things are a little bit too hot, then that's what towels are for. It's totally okay. All right. The answers were a little more in depth this time. added fewer questions, but I had a lot of fun kind of answering them and just letting you know what I thought about all these things. We dug a little bit deeper, and on the next Q&A, it's not going to be a Q&A. I'm just going to read your funny comments. So thank you for showing up, and if you made it this far, well, you are a true Bumble. I love you guys. Later.